Okay, in Yanei Vidoy, we start the topic of Vidoy. All the shiurim today are Lezech Nishmas, Mr. Marcos Katz, who of course played such a tremendous role in so many of the Torah initiatives of Yeshiva University. Ve'inyan Vidoy. So I'd like to learn with you together the Sefer HaChinuch, a little bit of the Sefer HaChinuch on Vidoy. And then share a few insights, if we have time, from someone who I consider a Rebbe, Rabbi Ehud Rakovsky. Anyone know Rabbi Ehud Rakovsky? Rabbi Ehud Abitzedek? His second name doesn't do it. We'll talk about him when we get to the second half. Tremendous Talmid Chacham in Yerushalayim and Beit Yaakov. Sefer HaChinuch says as follows, Be'inyane Vidui. I know we have our phones away today. Hopefully. Oh, no, I didn't mean to say that there, but that was like the thing where keeping the phones away. In the meantime, I forgot my my watch. Okay, but I have that to look at. Okay, so there we go. Sefer HaChinuch says, Mitzvah Shin Samach Dalet, Mitzvahs Vidui Al Hachet. We're not going to get into the whole discussion. My Blouse spoke about this beautifully over Shabbos, the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, about the question of whether there's a separate mitzvah of tshuva and Vidui, different explanations from Rabbi Soloveitchik based on the formulation of the Rambam. But we're just going to look at some basics from the Sefer HaChinuch here. Shenitztavinu lehisvados lifnei Hashem akol hachatoim shechatan. The Sefer HaChinuch says that one of the 613 mitzvos is to say Vidui before Hashem on any chait that we do, be'eis shenitnachem aleihem. That's a nod towards the Rambam. The Eish Shenitznachem Aleihem. In other words, when you're going to do, it's one of those mitzvahs that when you are inspired to do tshuva, again, this is a much larger topic, when you are inspired to do tshuva, so at that moment you should concretize it, you should express it in a very specific manner by saying vidui. And this is the first thing I think that we should remember. We know that the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva Aleph, Zu Mitzvahs Aseh. Do we remember that? Are we going to remember that by tomorrow Mincha? That we're literally fulfilling a Mitzvah Aseh Min HaTorah. At Mincha, when we begin to confess, it's not even Yom Kippur yet, we're going to fulfill a mitzvah asei min ha-Torah. We should think of there aren't so many times v'kum v'asei, I'm fulfilling all the various different mitzvahs of the Torah. So you have to take that very seriously. V'zehu inyan ha-vidui, what is vidui? Shiyomar ha-adam be'eit ha-tshuva, again, a very rich language, which we're not going to be our focus for this evening, it's been the focus of so many. Shiyomar ha'adam be'eit ha'tshuva, at the time that you're doing tshuva, you're supposed to say, Ana Hashem, chatosi avisi upashati chein v'chein. Okay, that when you're doing tshuva, you're supposed to say, Ana Hashem. We'll try to take a look at that language a little bit this evening. What is this language of Ana Hashem? Chatosi avisi upashati. Right, we hold that we go in this direction. Right, there's a machlokus in the Gemara in Yuma as to whether we go up in seriousness or down in seriousness. Right, chatosi is considered to be a mistake of some sort. Avisi pashati is a merit. Avisi is I did it on purpose. Pashati is I did it lahachas. So we paskin like the chachamim against Rav Meir. Rav Meir says we go the other direction, which is interesting. Rameir says we go the other direction, that we actually should start with the most serious and then end with chatosi. A very interesting idea that perhaps the hardest sins to atone for are the ones that we didn't really do on purpose, so we don't really take a certain amount of blame for it. When I did a biggie, when I really let myself and the Ribono Shel Olam down, that's one thing. But sins that I could have been more careful are easy to justify. It could be that's Rameir Shita. That we're actually building up to the toughest one to do tshuva for. But we paskin chatosi avisi upashati like the chacham. Kolomar, she yazkir hachet she'asa beferush befiv. Right? As the Gemara says in the last parak of Yuma that we should spell out, we should explicate that which we did. V'yevakesh kapara alav, we're going to get back to that in the italics, that part of this mitzvah is not only to mention the particular fate, but to ask for kapara. V'yarich b'davar kefima shiyet zachot l'shono. And then it's sort of open mic a little bit with the Ribbono Shalom. When we're standing before the Ribbono Shalom, we're supposed to do this not simply with the set text. The set text is just the minimum. It's just the basic. It's just the miskeret for everything that we're doing. Right? We know that there are some who suggest different things for the Ashamnu and Bagadnu, different things if you know you aren't careful enough, if you ate without a bracha, if you forgot to make a bracha, achalnu below bracha. That we're mafarit. We should mention if there are particular averis that we all have that are not on the list, we should make sure to mention those as well. Okay. So that's going to be the focus of our discussion, is mostly that, but I want to look at some of the other pieces. It's a long piece from the Sefer HaChinuch, but some other very, very interesting things that that come up along the way. He says, Ulefi sheba mitzvah zu shel vidui im chiyav ha-korban. Since the origin of this idea of vidui comes along with saying vidui along with a korban, dichsiv sham vehiviyat ha-shamo, shemiyala b'machshava she'ein ha-vidui levado mitzvah bifnei atzma. It's a very interesting idea. That you might think, says the Sefer HaChinuch, and this isn't his havamina, you might think that there is no such thing as vidui if you're not bringing a korban. But the whole idea, ela me hadvarim hanigrorim achar hakorban. It's a chelek, it's a part of bringing a korban. Why would you think that? Would you really have that havamina? In the Mechilta goes to tell you it's the wrong havamina. Al kain hayutzrichin leva'er b'mechilta she'eino kein ela mitzvah v'fnei atzmei. So the first thing the Mechilta clears up is you might think that this is only a mitzvah when you bring a korban. Why would you think that? What? We do have other situations. We have an amira that comes along only if you can do the whole thing. But what kind of havamina is that? So we have to realize that when Rabbi Akiva says famously, "Lifnei mi atem mitar and mi mitar eschem," right? The famous Mishnah, the famous became a famous song, right? "Lifnei mi atem mitar and mi mitar eschem," in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This idea that we don't need a korban to gain atonement, that the ikar of the atonement process is actually vidui, is something that was very difficult, especially for the Jews of Rabbi Akiva's time, to understand. Why the Jews of Rabbi Akiva's time? They lived through the korban. They lived through the korban. They had a Beis HaMikdash for more than 400 years. And Rabbi Willig spoke about the fact that there's a certain amount of atonement. He mentioned from the Rav, a certain amount of atonement. You just take the Seir Mishtalech and you push off the Seir Mishtalech, and yes, you don't get complete tshuva, the Rav was machadesh. But the fact that a certain amount of tshuva is you're capable, began to think that tshuva is bound up in the ceremonies themselves. But tshuva is a very personal interaction with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then v'chein amusham yochol b'zman she'ein mevi'in misvadin u'minayin afshe b'zman she'ein mevi'in. How do you know that not only is vidui separate from korban? This is an unbelievable havamina. Not only is vidui separate from korban when there was a korban, but you might think that the only time you're going to say vidui u'minayin afshe b'zman she'ein mevi'in she'nemar b'nei Yisrael v'hisvadu. Sorry, that's the first answer. Then he says, "Va'adayin ha'isi omer she'ein havidui ella ba'aretz." He says another unbelievable havamina, that I would think that vidui is only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. Did you hear that havamina? Havamina that even so I understand that you told me a pasuk b'nei Yisrael v'hisvadu that we even have to do it today, even once there's no Beis Hamikdash. Okay, fine. How do you know you have to do it in New York? Again, Adayin Hayisi Omer She'ein Havidui Ela Ba'aretz Kolomar Afo Pishim Isfadim Below Korban. Even though we've established that you can do Vidui without a Korban, Mikomokom Shelo Yechiyuv Havidui Ela Ba'aretz Kisham Iker HaKapara V'sham HaKarbonos V'Iker HaKol Ba. Wow. That is just a very, very striking formulation of the Sefer HaChinuch. A serious Havamina, but the only place that I could really get Kapara, it's probably too late now to catch a flight, yeah? It's a little risky. I wouldn't take a midnight flight tonight, but it's probably too late to get there, but this is an unbelievable idea. It's tucked away here. It doesn't make most of the very Tzioni Svarim. It's tucked away in the Sefer HaChinuch in the Hilchos Tshuva. But this unbelievable idea, Sham Iker HaKapara V'Sham HaKarbonos V'Iker HaKol Ba. It's in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps the only place you can achieve Kapara. Minayin Afshe B'Golius V'Chsiv V'Hisfadu Esavonam V'Esavon Avosam Kolomar Avon Avosam Shechatu V'Gorshu Min Ha'aretz. Okay. The Havamina here is even more interesting and provocative than the Maskana. Yes, we are able to get Kapara out here, but somehow this idea that without Eretz Yisrael, without the closeness that we have with the Ribono Shel Olam in Eretz Yisrael, it's even more difficult. Okay. Let's look at this language of Vayavakesh Kapara Alav, and then we'll continue with Mishar Shehetz. The Sefer HaChinuch tells us that part of the mitzvah of vidui is vayavakesh kapar alav. That it's almost natural, of course, that if you're going to say vidui, you have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive you for that particular sin. And the fact is, that is what the Kohen Gadol says in the Beis HaMikdash, if you turn over the page. That is what the Kohen Gadol says in the Beis HaMikdash. That flows very well. Right? I brought you the third of the three viduyim, right? There are three viduyim that the Kohen Gadol says on Yom Kippur. The first for his family, the second for his shevet, and the third for all of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara learns that you should clean up your own house first. And if you want to help others to be able to get kapara, you have to clean up your own house first. So he moves outward. First himself, and then in his family, and then shave it, then for the rest of the Kohanim, and then for Klal Yisrael. So says the Mishnah. Bolo Eitzel Seir HaMishtaleach V'somech Beiz Yodav Olav Misvade. He comes to the Seir HaMishtaleach, right? The first two viduyim are on what? Where does he say the first two viduyim? First two viduyim are on a par. In fact, the same par. He says two viduyim on a par, which is shechted, and then its blood is thrown inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the third and final is said on one of the two goats, the one that's chose to be Lashem. V'kachaya omer, and this is what he would say, Ana Hashem, Chatu avu pashu lufanecha amcha b'nei Yisrael. Okay? So far, so good. That's what he says. Chatu avu pashu lufanecha amcha b'nei Yisrael. Ana Hashem, Kaperna lachataim v'la avonos v'la poshim v'la pshaim shechatu v'sheavu v'shepashu lufanecha amcha beis Yisrael chakasu v'saros Moshe avdecha leim. Right? So the second sentence that's said by the Kohen Gadol, Ana Hashem, or as many have a nusach, Ana Bashem, we'll talk about that in a minute, we say Ana Bashem, okay, we say Ana Bashem, Kaperna lachatoim v'lavonos v'lapshoim. So the Kohen Gadol himself definitely fulfills what the Sefer HaChinuch is talking about. That he starts with an admission of the sins, and the admission of the sins is immediately followed up by a prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive us. The problem is that particular language doesn't make the language that we use when we have our typical language of kapara. If you go back to the beginning of the Sefer HaChinuch, he almost contradicts himself. V'zehu inyan avidoy, at the top. V'zehu inyan avidoy, shiyomar ha'odem be'eis ha'tshuva. What should you say? Ana Hashem, chatasi avisi pashati kein v'chein. And the Rambam says that's the ikar avidoy. The ikar avidoy is simply to say, Ana Hashem, chatasi avisi pashati. Okay? Or, aval anachnu chatanu. We sinned. So on the one hand, the Sefer HaChinuch tells us that you're supposed to make sure to say vidoy and then to pray that you should be forgiven. But the classic language that we use is not, does not include that. It simply says, I sinned. What the Kohen Gadol says, if you say that second sentence, and you could say that that's perhaps what he means, although if you look at the Rambam, it doesn't look like that. It looks like it's limited to Ana Hashem. The Kohen Gadol says, Ana Hashem, Ana Hashem. Why does he say it twice? Why does he say it twice? So, Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that the first and the second mention are not exactly the same thing. In fact, they may be completely different. The second language, which many have the girsa of Bashem, Ana Bashem, what's the difference of Ana Hashem and Ana Bashem? What does Ana mean? What does Ana mean? Please. Please. Right? So, first of all, that's a very strange thing to say now. If Ana means please, then what is the classic Lashon of Vidur? Ana Hashem, please God, I sinned. Please God, I sinned. Please God, I should do tshuva. I mean, please God, I sinned. Ana Hashem, chatasi, avisi, pashati. It's very difficult to understand what that is. The second time around, then it makes sense. Ana Hashem, please God, kaper na lachatoy. That makes a lot more sense. The first sentence doesn't seem to make sense anyway, even in its regular construction. The second sentence at least makes sense and it fulfills what the Sefer HaChinuch is talking about. If it says Ana Bashem, which is what we have, we say that in our vidui, we say Ana Bashem. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that Ana Hashem and Ana Bashem is not the same thing. When we say Hashem, we're referring to the Ribon. We're talking to the Ribon Shel Olam. What is Bashem? Ana Bashem? It's a strange language. You ever think about that? We say that in Vidur every year. In the Yom Kippur Avoda. Ana Bashem. So Soloveitchik said that the correct understanding is that you're supposed to say Ana Bashem Kaperna. That's supposed to be Ana Bashem. Every chazan does. Well, we'll listen, we'll see. I think hopefully Donnie Zuckerman will do this way. They do in yeshiva. We try to get the avoda correct. But almost every chazan in the world says, Ana Hashem, chatos, Ana Bashem, kaper na lachataim, v'lavonos. No, not so to speak. It's not Ana Bashem. It's Ana. We addressed him already in the first sentence. Ana Hashem. That's who we're talking to. And then we say in the second sentence, Ana, please, Bashem Kaperna, through your name. Through your name, with your holy name, with the name of Hashem Kaperna. What does that mean? What is the name of Hashem? What do we mean when we say Hashem is a name? Why does Hashem have a name? And he's got so many. Yet. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have so many names? A name of the Ribono Shel Olam is describing something that he does, a way that he acts. We can't describe the Ribono Shel Olam. When we speak of the Ribono Shel Olam, we use a phrase like Ein Sof. Okay, we use a negative term. We can't really describe what he is, but we can describe the way he seems to act. So that's when we speak of the Shem. Rachamim, Yudkei Vavkei is Rachamim, Elohim is Din. We're not describing him as a judge. We're saying that this is the way we refer to him when he's acting in a way that looks like a judge. This is the way we refer to him. So what does it mean, Ana Bashem? It means Ribono Shel Olam. We don't have a right to ask you to be a Rachaman. We did things wrong. When you do something wrong in a legal system, you get punished. But you yourself have told us that you're willing to try a different system where you have more patience. By the way, he doesn't simply let us go. We're not allowed to say it. Chazal tell us, he now let us say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Vatran. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an avatron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, oh, it's okay, I forget about it. Well, we'll start again. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is, we'll give this longer.
we'll give this more time. We're in a relationship. It's not one act and one punishment. So Ana Bashem Kaperna. You have revealed to us. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed the Yud Gimel Midos, what he told us is that he will often act in a way that's not really like a judge. Where he says, I'm going for the long-term goal here. I'm not going to act. I'm not going to take. I'm not going to give punishment. When we say to the Ribono Shel Olam, please forgive me, what we're saying is, give me another chance. I'm not saying just please forgive me. Why should I be forgiven? Please forgive me because I think I can do better next year. Let me try it again. Last year I didn't succeed. You gave me a job. I didn't quite fulfill my job. But I have a feeling I can do better this year. So give me another shot to do it again. So Ana Bashem Kaperna, with the name, with the things that you revealed to us, that you said on Zacchaeus, therefore provide us with Kapar. But what does Ana mean? So the first Ana is very strange. The Gemara actually asks, you have in Daf Lamed Zayin, the next source, in Daf Lamed Zayin, the Gemara says, Uminayin Sheba Ana. This is towards the beginning of the Viduis. And the Gemara says, Minayin Sheba Ana. It's back in the third paragraph. How do you know that you're supposed to use the phrase Ana? So the Gemara says, we learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu by the Cheta Ego. Okay. That when you're trying to get rid of a sin, you should also use the word Ana. So the Tosus Yeshonim says, don't have that on the sheet, but Tosus Yeshonim says, Ve'im Tomar Tarti Ana Minalon. So he says, it's very nice, we found the makor to say ana, but we say ana twice. So Tosfos Yeshonim says, which ana are we trying to find a makor for? Ana Hashem, or what we call ana Bashem? Which one? We only have one source to throw in the word ana, so which one is it? So Tosfos Yeshonim say, the basra lo tzarech kra shehu lashon tfila. He says, the second one doesn't need a makor. Of course it makes sense to say, Ana, please, when we are asking Hashem for something. The Gemara is puzzled, why right before you confess do you say, Ana? That doesn't make any sense. What do you mean, please, I sinned? It's exactly the question that we had. That's the Tosfos Yeshonim. That's what the Gemara has to see. The Gemara doesn't ask every time we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do you know you're supposed to say, please? What's the makor in the Torah? The parent says to the kid, say please. Oh, what? Right? Where do you see this? Minolon. Minolon. You have to say please. Of course you have to say please if you're asking for something. But it's that first ana. What is that first ana? So Rabbi Soloveitchik explained here that this ana is necessary simply to be able to confess to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's not necessarily what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Sefer HaChinuch says it's a request for kapara. The request for kapara, we'll still talk about in a moment, the request for kapara doesn't exactly appear so clearly in our language. Ana Hashem, says the Rav, is I don't have a right to even come before you. To be able to confess, to be able to do that is in and of itself. If he was a real earthly king, if he was a melech basar v'dam, and you openly, while he's watching, every sin we do, Rabosai, we do with the Ribono Shel Olam standing right there. We do with the Ribono Shel Olam literally activating our body to do the sin that we're doing in defiance of his will. If there was an earthly king, we wouldn't be given the opportunity to confess. There'd be nothing to talk about. He doesn't want to hear from us. He doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want to continue the relationship with us. So Ana Hashem is the same as Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Agiti Losecha. Where is that pasuk from? Where is that pasuk from? Tehillim Nun Aleph. Tehillim Nun Aleph is the parak of Tehillim where David HaMelech talks about coming back and talking to Hashem after the sin of Bathsheba. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach means I shouldn't even have a right to even confess to you. Even that, I, after everything I did, why would you even give me the time of day? But I want to take it a step further.
So there's a very interesting article that was written by Rabbi Rakovsky. Anything you can get from Rabbi Ehud Rakovsky. He has several svarim out. A sefer called Das Tfila, a sefer called Das Shabbos, a sefer called two svarim called Das Emuna. He's a many, many generation Yerushalmi. He's a Rosh Kollel in Yerushalayim. A tremendous Baal Machshava. So he has a very interesting article that he wrote up in the journal Yeshurun about Vidui. And he makes the following point. The whole thing is this big. One little article, they reprinted it separately. So I got this from him. And he says the following. He says that in his mind, you could understand, perhaps, that you don't even need to verbalize a tefillah to fulfill the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. Why don't you need to verbalize the tefillah? So, he quotes three words from the Nefesh HaChaim, from Chaim Volozhin and Nefesh HaChaim. What does the word chet mean? So we're familiar with the fact that chet means to miss, right? I miss with the arrow. But the Nefesh HaChaim has a slightly different definition. Chet, perushan, chisaron. Okay? Chet means I am lacking. I didn't fulfill my responsibility. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. It doesn't imply that I necessarily did it on purpose. It doesn't imply that I did it as a mered. But it implies that I am lacking. I'm lacking in some way. The essence of vidui is to appear before the Ribono Shel Olam and say, I am nothing compared to you. I am nothing compared to you. To appear before the Ribono Shel Olam as someone who is a Baal Chisaron. Not a Kisharon, but a Baal Chisaron. And he quotes a terrific piece from Tzadik HaKohen. I actually quoted this last year, I think, when I was trying to give a little bit of a hesped for a Lichtenstein. Al derech sha'amar David HaMelech olav ha'shalom va'ani tefilah. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, ani tefilah, I am tefilah. That's sounds like quite an arrogant statement. But Tzadik HaKohen understands that it's exactly the opposite. What does it mean when David says, ani tefilah? Shesam atzmo ani. He made himself, he was so in touch with the fact that he was so lacking, that he was a walking tefillah. She'ein tzorech lehispalel raku atzmo tefillah. He didn't even have to utter a word, because David HaMelech's entire existence was the recognition that I have nothing without the Ribono Shel Olam. I am at fault. I sinned. I am wrong. And he is right. That was his essence. Right? We say that the Malchus Beis David was Nimshalot to what? What is the Malchus Beis David compared to? To the moon. Why to the moon? Because the moon has no light of its own and it knows it. Right? The moon, everything the moon has, it gets from another source, and its goal is simply to reflect that other source. That was the essence of David HaMelech. It comes through in many ways. She'ein tzorech lispalel. David HaMelech didn't have to be misfalel, in a sense. Raku atzmo tefilah. Ki ani haholech arum v'yachef v'utzfad oro mipnei ravono. When an ani walks and he's barefoot and he looks fashlept and he's off color because he's so sick. Ad shechoshech mishchor t'oro. The guy's a nebuch. We all know, sometimes you open up the door, and there's, right, you open up the door, ding dong, it's right when, of course, it's exactly when you sat down to eat, and there's somebody at the door. And you go to the door, and you look at him, and you look at the Cadillac parked in your driveway, and you're like, this is a little strange here, I wonder. And then the first thing he says, do you have the petek from the VOD? You know, I'd like to see if you have the certification. Sometimes you have somebody who comes to the door. They don't need these words. Their whole essence is needy. It's clear that they're needy. It's clear that they need something. This is the way we're supposed to be in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. Kishiyamov de Pesach Eitzel Mishi Yochel Racham Olav LaOzro Ein Tzorach L'daber Bakashato Klal Kiko Ro'ehu Yargish Mevukasho V'Yarachim Olav V'Hu Atzmo Tefila. And this explains, Rabbi Rakovsky, is perhaps the idea that every vidui is in essence a tefillah. Every vidui is in essence a tefillah. The sense of my own recognition of how lacking I am vis-a-vis the Ribono Shel Olam, that itself is a tefillah. I don't need to necessarily verbalize it afterwards. I am in a state, the broken state that we have when we are on Yom Kippur. And I don't mean that. I don't mean that first vidui. The first vidui is, I don't know, you know, you're trying to get into mincha. The first vidui that hits. That's my goal on Yom Kippur, is to have one vidui. And I've got to say it 10 times to make sure I got one. And depending on what's going on in the shul and in life and everything, sometimes it's right at the beginning, sometimes it's not till the end, and sometimes, unfortunately, I don't feel it in any of them. But usually there's one vidui where we get it. And perhaps that's the vidui where we break down. And even if we don't break down, because the essence here is not to cry, it's to feel that I've really blown it. I really made a mistake. I really could have done better. The kind of things we say, and we should repeat the right phrases again and again in Tefillah Zaka. How did I get to this point? How did I get here? I am an ani. I am ani b'masim. That state is in essence a tefillah to the Ribono Shel Olam. Let's just look back at the Shorash HaMitzvah. Mishorashei HaMitzvah, to take this one step further. Mishorashei HaMitzvah lefi shebehodas ha'avon bepeh. Why do we have to say this out loud? What is the point? Why do we have to bring this to our mouths and bring it out and say it? Remember, the context of the Sefer HaChinuch is that I'm doing tshuva. So I'm doing tshuva. The goal of vidui is not to get me to do tshuva. Right? Because I seem to be in the middle of tshuva. I already feel bad. When I feel bad, I should make sure to express it out loud. So he says, skip to the second answer first. At the end of the second line of Mishorashei HaMitzvah, gam mitoch hazkaras achet befrat. Sorry, confuses chet and hate. I wonder if there's a something in the DBS database that they're trying to hint to us, but probably just it was scanned wrong. Mitoch hazkaras achet befrat uvehit nachamo alav yizar mimenu yoser pamacheres levalya michshol michshol ba. Okay. He says, one of the good things about saying it is that if I really face it and I verbalize it, it's likely to keep my commitment to not do this thing again. It makes it much more real for me. I know I'm going to have to say this again next year. If I did this, maybe you should say it anyway next year. Acharshi omar befiv, after I say befeh, I say out loud, kazu v'chazu asiti v'niskaldi v'ma'asai, I made a big mistake. I have to say it. That helps to not return to the particular thing. So that's one thing he's saying. That the reason why we should say vidui is it brings it to a head for the future. I'm already doing tshuva. That's good. That's terrific. I'm already doing my tshuva. If I verbalize it, it's going to make it more of a real commitment. It's a resolution now that I'm not going to do it again. Even though I don't necessarily say that in this language, regardless of the Rambam's requirements for what I have to say, but just saying it, even if I don't actually say, and I'll never do it again, if I say, I did this and it was so dumb, why did I do this? That itself helps for the future. But he starts with something even more fascinating. He says, Mishorshei HaMitzvah Lefisha Behoda'as Ha'avon Befeh, by saying it out loud, I verbalize an ikur of emuna. An ikur of emuna goes on when I say vidui. Shehu ma'amin be'emes, Ki galui v'yadua lifnei hakel baruchu kol ma'aseu v'lo ya'ase ayin ro'eh ke'ena ro'eh. Because when I say vidui out loud, I need that not simply to deal with the fact that I may do this again. Because every aveira has at its root a false understanding of what the world is about. That I can do what I want to do. That there is no one watching. That it doesn't matter what I do. At the root of every single chait is this major mistake. And I need to say it over and over and over again. Just like on Rosh Hashanah, for example, where we say Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. What are Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros? The Sefer HaYikarim, Yosef Alvo says, Malchios is the Iker that there's a God. Shofros, if you look carefully, is not so much about blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but Sinai. The fact that there was a revelation of God. Zichronos, God keeps track of what I'm doing. The Sefer HaYikarim wrote a whole Sefer to say that these are the three Ikari Hamuna, and even the Rambam who says there are 13 didn't really mean it. Because if you break down the Rambam's 13, it's really 5 and 4 and 4. 5 that says God exists. 4 that says He gave us a Torah. 4 that says it matters if you keep it or not. We don't daven on Rosh Hashanah Musaf. We actually, once a year, or twice a year, we are told, say it out loud. Judaism also has beliefs, not just actions. We have core beliefs. We have Ikari Amun. On Yom Kippur, after we went through that whole thing on Rosh Hashanah, we admit that we must have forgotten at least one of those three things. That there's a God, that He gave us commandments, and that it matters if we do them. We can say all we want on Rosh Hashanah. We can say the Ani Mamins every day after Shabbos. We can say all 13 Ani Mamins. But Lamaisa, our actions have not jived with what we say that we believe. And therefore we have to say it again. I sinned, and by saying I sinned, I admit. Vidui is miloshen hoda'a. It means to admit. Right? There's a famous piece in the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah. Perek Beis, the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah. Bevinyan hamilim shaloshen hakodesh nizdamnu lufundak echad shnei musagim. He says that there is one phrase in Hebrew that means two different things. Havaat hachzokas tova, what he calls danken in Yiddish, thank you, thanking, right? You give hachzokas tova. V'haskama l'das hatzad hasheni, right? Which he says is nachgabim, to admit. It's interesting, point this out on other occasions, there is no word in Hebrew for thank you. There really isn't. There's no word in Hebrew for thank you. There's hakaras hatov, which means I recognize that you did something for me. And there is todah, which means I admit that you did something for me. Moda b'miktsas. I'm moda to you. What does moda mean? Moda doesn't mean that I thank you. You know that within our tradition, thanking is obvious. You know what's really hard? To admit that I needed you to do this for me. Once I have that sense that you actually benefited, you, little old you, benefited, big shot me, then of course I'm going to say thank you. The problem is to admit that you were able to do something for me. That's a thank you ultimately is. That's what we say at the end of Shmona Esrei. The reason why Shmona Esrei ends with modim is because after going through thing after thing after thing after thing that we need from the Ribono Shel Olam, we admit that we don't have anything ourselves. That's why at the end of Shmona Esrei, what do we do when we bow for modim? We bow in a way that we don't bow any other time. We bow, says the Maharal, we bow like we're falling down. Because we have nothing. At the end of Shmoneh Esrei, you don't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. He didn't do it yet. How do we know? We just ask him for all these things. Thank you, Shkoyach, Shkoyach. Thank you for doing it. You know how many times you say that about Mashiach? It's very strange. Right? You're that convinced that he did it? So you, no, you don't thank him. You admit, we all admit, that we have nothing without him, and therefore we need to turn to him for everything, time after time after time after time again. And that's in essence what Vidui is as well. Vidui is admitting, recognizing, putting things back into perspective. I saw a beautiful piece by Rav Amital Zatzal from Gush, a beautiful piece about why Rosh Hashanah, which is the day that more than anything else we mark the fact that God is King, also has to be a Yom HaDin. Like, that's so inconvenient. Having such a nice day, we're celebrating the fact that the Ribono Shel Olam is the Melech HaKol Haaretz, and now I have to also be nervous about the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mason. What's the pshat? So Rav Amital says so beautifully. It says the Ribono Shel Olam is clearly in charge of everything in this world. 99.99% of the creatures in this world do exactly what he tells them to do all of the time. They're built that way. From the tiniest microscopic thing to all the things in the ocean to everything in the sky to the planets, everything does exactly what you can see clearly his malchus. There's one place his malchus is not apparent in the lives of human beings. Because he gives us autonomy. He gives us free choice. That's the root of our whole existence here, is free choice. It's actually through free choice that we actually cloud the fact that he's the Melech HaKol Haaretz. What happens on the Yom HaDin? On the Yom HaDin, we establish the fact that he wasn't blind to it. We didn't do it because he couldn't stop us from doing it. We didn't do it in a way that had no responsibility. He allowed us to do it. And you know what? Now we have to come back with a complete report for exactly what we did and we didn't do. We're mamlech the Ribono Shel Olam by saying vidui, because we have to say vidui. We have to be modeh that he's watching every single thing that we do. I'll end with this piece at the bottom by Reb Tzadok HaKohen. The 8 o'clock is going to start a little late. I'm the only one who knows that, so you can go a little longer. Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen in the Pri Tzadik, he says that by my admitting that I am chaser, I'm at the same time showing that the Ribono Shel Olam has no chisaron. The whole thing, the whole essence of what I do on Rosh Hashanah is effectively the same thing I do on Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah, I do it by being mamlech the Ribono Shel Olam. On Yom Kippur, I do it by bringing myself down, by admitting, by putting myself back into my place. He says, as at its root, Vidui and Todah are actually somewhat opposites, he says. In Kol HaKarbonos Betelim Korban Todah Eino Batel. There's a tradition that even though all of the other Karbonos will go away, the Korban Todah will not. Shezehu Iker HaKarbonos Lehodos Lo Yisparach. Because the Korban Todah is not ultimately about us. The Korban Todah is about what he is. Shezehu akorban haroi gam kishiya adam b'shleimos kirtzon Hashem yisparach. Shelekach notzar. Velo yitztarech lekorban alcheit shebal yedei kilkulo maseim. He says that all the other karbanos, one way or another, even the korban ola, even the korban tamid, everything is ultimately related to cheit. We are at fault. But within the concept of Todah is simply to recognize, to be modeh, that Hashem is perfect, regardless of what we might be done. And even though, la'asid lavo, there won't need to be any other karbanos, because we won't be sinning anymore, it won't take away from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just as perfect as he always was. Rak ala hoda'a v'hakilus al ribuy chasadav v'tovotav b'choyom iman. The korban toda is an admission for all of the things that he does for us, even if we were perfect. Sha'al zehu mechuvan kol habri. So essentially, the vidui serves two opposite purposes that are one. The vidui serves to present ourselves in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, to reestablish, not just to say I did this particular aveira, it's not just to confess, it's not just to act as a wall to make sure I don't do it again. The vidui is much, much deeper than that. It's a silent tefillah of sorts, even though we say the words, but we don't say the words of tefillah. It's a silent tefillah because it presents us as chaser and admits that the Ribono Shel Olam is not. And that's what the vidui process has to be. We can sometimes, and we have to, Yom Kippur is a day of details. It's a day we try to get everything in order, and we should say the vidui certainly prat by prat by prat. You should say it in the back of the art scroll. You should take a moment for each one, at least one vidui, to make sure to really go through every single piece. But there's also vidui begadol. There's the resetting of the relationship between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and us, to recognize how unfortunately we've made so many mistakes, but he has continued with all of his chasadim throughout this song. Meshuk Marzim Torah.